the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now he'd start that. And sometime during that, not always, but sometime, the glory of the Lord would roll in like a wave, like a bright ocean wave, sometime like a mist. But I remember it like a wave. And it usually start over there. And it wait and it come in like this. And I knew when Brother Hagin got that out of his Bible cover, we're in for it. And there it would come. And it'd pick the people up. And amazing things would happen. Glorious things. Brother Hagin would step back because he didn't want to get caught up in it. People would fall everywhere. People would be healed. Amazing things would happen. Bless the Lord. So there came a thought to me about that time. I think it was from the Lord. But it said, the thought said to this, it said to me, if it would behoove him, it would behoove me to study on the glory. And so I started to look at the glory of the Lord and all these scriptures and to literally study it. But that class, so many of them had come in the charismatic move and they were kind of new. Now the Bible is a plan. It's a plan of God. Jerry Savelle said, they call us word people, they should call us favorite word people. Just get a little verse and camp on it. No, no, no. This is the plan of God. This is the plan for man. This is the plan for the church. This is the plan for earth and heaven. Bless the Lord. So I thought, well, we'll start with Genesis, and we'll study the Bible in the light of our redemption there in the Sunday school class. And that's when it came to me. So we began with Genesis 1:1. And Genesis 1:1 reads, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Every time you see the word heaven in the Old Testament, it's plural. Shemaim, place of the waters. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just verse 1. No one but God could say so much so succinctly. There is no imagining what all happened in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. But what it does not include is verse 2. And here is verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 2, and I say it with confidence from the Word of God, I say it with confidence, is billions of years after verse 1. Science now says that Earth is not just 6,000 years old. I don't care what they tell you. Young people in school have trouble that their church doesn't realize that really the Earth is billions of years old. Earth is, right now they say, science says, 4.5 billion years. However long is true science requires. But Adam, he's only been here 6,000 years. Praise the Lord. I think I'll have you show that chart, that 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years chart. This is from a chart I made up from a statement in the Talmud. Now, what is the Talmud? Well, they wrote down the oral law. And the oldest things in the Talmud are credible. Some things are later, and you wonder. But this one is, to me, the easiest chart to understand. And it comes from the fact that when Moses went up, you know, Moses went up to heaven. When I was a little girl, I used to think he just sat on an ice cream cone mountain with his feet on a sapphire slab. But no, if Jesse Bupinus went up from a motel room to heaven, I guess Moses, when he went up 40 days and then another 40 days, he went to heaven. And he got the pattern for the tabernacle, and he got what's called the oral law. Right. There is the written law, there is the oral law. It wasn't to be written down. Moses was tell it to Joshua. Joshua would tell it to the next, to the next, to the next. Now, when their second temple got burned, and even earlier, they decided they better write some things down. So this is one of the things Moses was told. Moses was told that Adam was given a six-day work week, that God worked in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and that man is given Adam was given a six-day work week to see what he could do with earth in 6 days. And we are told in 2 Peter, and we're told in Psalms, that with God, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. So this is the way that it's divided up. It's divided into three parts. The first two are called from the days of 97A Sanhedrin in the Talmud. The first 2,000 years are the days of chaos. Then came the law. Then the next two were the days of the Torah. The Torah came. And at the end of the fourth day, Messiah was to come. And then the end of days, when the Bible, King James says latter days, it's really end of days. What does it mean? The last 2 days. The end of days, 2,000 years, the Messiah was to come, and it was to be a messianic age. Well, we call it the church age. They don't dare change anything. The Jews don't dare change anything. So they know the Messiah didn't come, they think. And so they have an asterisk there. And down at the bottom it says, he did not come because we were not worthy. But he did come. Yes, hallelujah. And now we have had this age that we're living in right now, folks. Oh, we're at the end of the age. Brother Hagin told to me, there's going to come an age change. I won't be here, but you will be. This is it, folks. Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. We're at the end. The signs are everywhere. Oh, my goodness. Even people out in the world know. Something's up, McGee. And here we are. Perhaps Sister Wilkerson's prophecy is coming true, and Brother Hagin's got one like it, and I'm going to hunt it up and read it to you when I come back. And we've got the opportunity to be that glorious church. One. Brother Hagin would always have people say, because he knew unity had something to do with it. And he would have people say, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. He would do it all the time at the end of service. Listen to his YouTubes. Watch him. Oh, he knew about it. And we're going to have it. We're going to be it. But you've got to straighten up. Now, I had heard Brother Hagin talk about a pre-Islamic civilization. So back to Sunday school class over here. Start at Genesis 1:1. Then you come to Genesis 1:2. And you read, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So without form and void. That's English. You really can't get it, but you can tell it's kind of bad. The Hebrew words are tohu va bohu. Here's tohu at the top up there. And bohu, a whole lot of the Old Testament is rhyming. Just a whole lot of it. Tohu means, this is from the Brown's Driver Briggs Hebrew and English Lexicon. This is their definition of it. Tohu is formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, chaos, waste. Bohu is emptiness, and I think the Lord just put it there to make a rhyme. God did not, indeed he could not, create a formless, confused, unreal, empty, chaotic wasteland. He couldn't do it. Why? The Bible tells us how his work is. Deuteronomy 32:4, amplified, he is the rock. His work is perfect. God's work is perfect. A perfect work can't make a chaotic wasteland. His work is glorious, Psalm 111:3. His work is honorable and glorious. So Genesis 1:1, I can tell you right now, was glorious and perfect. But Genesis 1:2 is an empty, chaotic wasteland. Now the Bible, if you want to know what a word means in the Bible, you find those words another place. So there's another place. The Bible is its own commentary. So we find those words in another place in Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. And guess what that word is? Tohu. Tohu. He created it not an empty, chaotic wasteland. He told you right here. He didn't do that. Then reading on, he formed it to be inhabited. Empty, chaotic wastelands are kind of like Gaza. Nobody can live there right now. There's no infrastructure. There's no nothing. Well, what about what Trump says? Well, I've given it some thought. You know what I think? I think God might be in it. It's going to eventually go to Israel. And they're going to own up to it. But they need some help in fixing it up. So be it. We'll get a blessing out of it. Still true, if you bless Israel, you get blessed. So he did not create it, tohu, he formed it to be inhabited. What does that mean? In Genesis 1:1, he formed it to be inhabited. And so if he formed it to be inhabited, that means there were inhabitants. There were beings who lived there. Who were they? Dun, 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 dun. We could spend a whole long time talking about that. But there were inhabitants, beings who were there. Planet Earth, God created planet Earth to be inhabited, and it was. But it fell into the chaotic ruin described in Genesis 1:2. The Hebrew word translated was, put Genesis 1:2 back up there. The Hebrew word translated was, and the earth was without form and void, that is that same Hebrew word that is most often translated came to pass, come to pass. In Genesis 1:7, verse 7, 9, 11, 15, 24, and 30, it is translated, and it was so. In many places, it's came to pass. So you could correctly translate the first two verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it came to pass that the earth became formless, confused, empty, chaotic wasteland, and darkness was upon the face of the deep.
What did the Apostle Paul mean by rightly dividing the word of truth? In the 3BI course, Eschatology, Rightly Dividing the Word, we examine this question and explore the Word of God, which is His plan.
The Holy Scriptures are not a systematic treatise on theology, history, science, or any other topic. They are a revelation. And Clarence Larkin has that in boldface. They are a revelation from God of His plan and purpose in the ages as to the earth and the human race.
This course will establish foundational principles of Bible interpretation that will guide how we understand and apply the scriptures in general and Bible prophecy. For more information about 3BI and to enroll, visit BillyBrimBibleInstitute.com.
Thank you for joining us today for the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. You can connect with us on all social media at Dr. Billy Brim, snail mail, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or billybrim.org. Again, shalom, shalom.